Well, I tell you, God put this together. Brother Joel done such a fantastic job. Just really giving us a great overview and foundation of the prophet Ezekiel. And that is a very pertinent message for the hour. Amen. We see a lot of departures from solid doctrinal preaching and teaching. Doctrine's not exciting to this generation. Amen. Brother James done such a great job talking about doctrine. It's not exciting, but it's essential. And it keeps us on the true path. An experience without doctrine is simply emotionalism. And doctrine without experience is nothing but dead religion. We need both. Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you. Cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. And the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You may be seated. I want to preach on this subject, revival under difficult circumstances. We are always looking for a favorable circumstance. We are looking for the right conditions. If the right conditions present themselves, then we will work. But what if they don't? What if we are never presented with favorable circumstances? Will that excuse, or will that excuse us from our responsibility to doing the will of God? What if we are never given favorable circumstances in which to have revival? Are we then excused from our responsibility for seeking such? I've heard all kinds of excuses from people in the church why we cannot see revival today. You have as well. Amen. We're living in a perilous time. There's a great falling away. COVID-19 now. Amen. We can't get together and have church. Amen. There's rioting in our cities, in our streets. Amen. We have every excuse in the world of why we cannot experience revival. We always blame the situation and the circumstance. But what if those circumstances do not change? Are we to sit back and do nothing? Amen, and excuse ourselves, amen, with a look at the world of how bad it is? Or should we get about the master's business? Hallelujah. Amen. Excuses about the time being wrong. Amen. Are simply us trying to pass the responsibility on to our children. But I don't want to hand my children, amen, the situation that's more dire than it is. I want to give them, amen, a move of the Holy Ghost. I want to give them revival. I want to hand to my children and my grandchildren Pentecost. If we're waiting on favorable circumstances to do the will of God, then we will never accomplish anything. Amen. We cannot remain frozen in immobility because of a wicked world and a compromising church. Brother Clendenin used to say that revival always comes on the heels of a moral midnight. Does that not describe the time that we're now living in? Amen. I want to explore this issue and this message, amen, the subject of revival. Folks, we need revival. I said we need revival. And there's probably nobody in here that would disagree with that statement. Amen. We all concur and agree. Amen. If we ever needed God to move, it's right now in 2020. Amen. With the situation as it is, amen, the only solution lies in this room right here. Amen. We can't look to the government to save us. I'm not looking for Dr. Fauci to save us. I'm not looking for a cure for corona to save us. There's only one answer, and it's Jesus. Amen. Church is a know-it-all, folks. We know Christ and He's all. If you got a problem with your marriage, He'll fix it. If you got a problem with sin, He can fix it. If you got a financial problem, He can fix it. Amen. Come on. No matter what you face, Jesus is the answer. Amen. Seems that many have an opinion about revival today. And many of those opinions may vary greatly one from another. Most would agree with my statement, we need revival. It is a true statement to say revival is not for the world, but for the church. Come on. But I am convinced when that church is revived, she will be salt and light to this world. Amen. A church that doesn't evangelize the world is a church that needs revival. A church that's merely content to come shout on Sunday night but never goes out into that world, amen, and tries to compel the lost to the truth has lost their way and they need revival. Hallelujah. We understand the world cannot directly experience revival, but they can indirectly through you and I. Hallelujah. Once we're revived, the world will know that. Any local church that's not revived is not being the voice of God in their community. That brings us to our vision. Ezekiel's vision. This is a classic revival text. Of course, this text is directly written, amen, about the state of the nation of Israel, God's people. We know that. Amen. They were scattered. Brother Joel said it. Babylon. Scattered. As far as they knew, they would never get back to their homeland. As far as they knew, it's over with. Israel, amen, is now just a blip on the historical map. Nothing's going to happen. They're going to be scattered. They're going to be absorbed by all the nations. And one day, we'll just talk about them as has-beens. But then God showed Ezekiel this vision. Hallelujah. And when Ezekiel was dropped in the middle of that valley, he saw a valley full of dry bones. Amen. There were bones scattered everywhere. And God just began to tell him, preach to the bones. Preach to the wind. And we know when it all came together, it signified a prophecy that one day, because of your sin, you've been scattered. Aren't you glad when God does judge, He still extends mercy? I know that you're sinned. I know that you failed me. But I do have a good, amen, amen, word for you. If you'll come back, one day I'll gather you from all over the world and I'll bring you back. And in 1948, He brought them all back together and we saw that prophecy. Man. Woo! He brought the bones together. Hallelujah. so thankful that God's merciful. But that message also has an implication to you and I. What was true for Israel scattering? What was true for Israel being placed in nations all around the world and then brought together by the sovereign work of God's Spirit is also true for you and I as a church. The Valley of Dry Bones so typifies what calls itself Christianity as a whole today. Religious Christianity is bleak, dry, and a valley of bones. The bones are scattered. They are scattered. Amen. God asked Ezekiel that question. Son of man, can these bones live? Obviously, Ezekiel was a very smart man. Because when he answered very carefully, Brother Yates, whoo, there had been a lot of times I spouted off before I thought. But he answered very carefully, Lord, thou knowest. Woo! I'm just going to put this back in your ball court, God. Amen. You ask me, can they live? I'm just going to tell you, you know the answer to that. And there's nobody on earth that knows God's power better than God. Woo, hallelujah. I want you to know it's dry. It's not only dry, it's very dry. But I got good news for you. Our God has all power. And that which is dead and dry, amen, that which has been cast away, amen, there is a God reaching right now and saying, if you'll call upon me with all of your heart, I will revive. Oh, the life-giving moisture of the Holy Ghost has been leached out of many churches. Squeezed out. They're not only dry, they're very dry. There's nothing but dryness. The songs are dry. The preaching is dry. The music is dry. The Sunday school is dry. Come on. Amen. The worship is dry. Amen. Everything's dry. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, there's not many churches like this one everywhere like there used to be across America. Amen. You've got to drive a long ways to find a good church today. A lot of people call me on the phone and say, I'm in this city. I got one this week, ask me. Somewhere down in Florida wanting to know where a good church was. I don't always have an answer for them. You remember the day 40 years ago, 50 years ago? Somebody asked you where a good church was. You could tell them, find a holiness church. It'll be a good one. Come on. But you don't want to do that now. You don't know what they might be walking into. It may be dry and it may be charismatic. Come on. It might be preaching the truth. It might be preaching Calvinism. Amen. You just can't blank. Amen. Tell somebody to go here or there like you used to. Because it's just not as common today as it once was. Come on. Amen. I know we need revival. I know we need the Holy Ghost. I know we need God's Spirit to drive us back towards truth. Hallelujah. Because that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Not to speak of himself. Amen. But to speak of the truth. Who is Jesus. Notice the order. The first order of business for Ezekiel was to prophesy to the bones. I hope y'all all right with me taking this jacket off. The word prophesy and the word preach are very similar. There are some distinctions there, but they hold basically the same idea. So when God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, in terminology we're more familiar with, he was saying, preach to the bones. What we need today are preachers who will preach to the bones. We need preachers who are bold. We need preachers who will say to the house, it's time to come together. It's time to live. It's time to stop carpet in the valley. If we're going to do this, then it will require that we tell the bones, amen, what they need to hear. Instead of telling the bones you're okay like you are, amen, we need to say to the bones, you are a disgrace to God that created you. He didn't create you to lie there in the dry sun and dry up and die. He created you to live. God don't need an army of dead bones. He needs an army. He needs a living army endued with power from on high. There are far too many preachers and churches out there who excuse bony Christians and tell them it's not your fault you're dry. It's not your fault you're going through a difficult time. Baloney. If there's sin in a person's life, it is their fault. I had a preacher come preach for me from another state. He flew in, and for the most part, he did okay. I never had him back. The first service, he got up there telling people, if you got sin in your life, you're going through a difficult time. Man, that didn't sit well with me. After church, we set the table, and I said, I just want to correct something for you real quick here. Amen. If you got sin in your life, that's not a trial. Come on, somebody. Amen. A difficult time will be having a flat on the way to church. Amen. Come on. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's a difference between having a flat and fornication. Come on. Amen. There's a difference. Come on. There's a difference. Amen. And having to put a new motor in your car and somebody committing adultery. Amen. I want you to know, if you've got sin in your life you hadn't repented of, you're not going through a trial. You're a rebel. Hallelujah. He said, preach to the bones. First order of business. A lot of preachers in here. We got to get ready to preach to the bones. We got to go back to them church. Some of you know you got some bones that are hard to deal with. Amen. I'm going to tell you, until you can get the wind to blow, you got to deal with the bones. Amen. You got to tell them bones it's time for them to get connected. Amen. That one over there wants to do his own thing. He's not connected. Every joint is not supplying that which God intended. And until that pinky man either leaves or gets connected, it's going to hinder for revival from coming to your church. Amen. Come on. Amen. We got to get in that pulpit and say, brother, it's time to bring that temper under the control of the sanctifying power of Jesus. We can have revival. Ezekiel got in that pulpit on that valley of dry bones, and he started preaching to bones. And the more he preached, the more it shook, and the noise came. And as he watched, right before his eyes, bones began to scatter all over and began to form into men, until he didn't stop preaching until everything was where it should be. Woo! What it takes. That want to bypass preaching to the bones and go right to the wind. But you got to get the order right. Don't preach to the wind till you preach to the bones. Woo! Hallelujah. You don't go to the doctor. You got a problem in your body, you don't know what it is. Sit down. The first thing the doctor tells you is the cure. First thing they're going to start doing is ask you a bunch of questions. And they're going to diagnose you. Once they diagnose the problem, then they'll come up with a cure. Woo, that's the way preaching should be. Come on. Brother Jared, we got to preach to the bones. We got to diagnose the issue. What's holding back revival? What's keeping us from seeing people healed in our churches? What's keeping people from walking in drunk and being sobered in our altars and leaving a new man? Come on, I used to see that a lot when I was a boy. When's the last time you saw that? When's the last time you laid hands on somebody, cast the devil out of them? When I first started preaching, every revival I preach, we cast devils out. Tell you, earn an offering, you cast devils out as an evangelist. Woo! You'd be worn out by the end of that session. Now, preaching revivals all over. Hardly ever see anybody come in there and act up. Praise God. You got to wonder if we're a threat to the devil. We were a threat at one time. And the devils would come running to our revival meetings to try to stir up something and stop it. Amen. But now they just let us shout all we want. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, God, we need revival. Folks, if I didn't believe this, I wouldn't be preaching it. Amen. I got a good home church that I pioneered. My wife and I pioneered. I can still be pastoring there. My brother, my sister-in-law, my niece. I got all kinds of family in that church. It'd be a whole lot easier just to be there. Got a successful business, but I'm never there to run. Hallelujah. Got every reason to be there. God dealt with my heart. He said, go out there and preach because we need revival. Woo! Go out there and preach. And preach to the bones. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what Ezekiel did. Amen. And we know it. We've heard it. The foot bone came to the leg bone. And the leg bone to the knee bone. And the knee bone to the thigh bone. And the thigh bone to the hip bone. Come on. And once it all came together, the sinews and flesh came up. Amen. But there's still a problem because there's no breath in them. Hallelujah. That's when we come to the next point. Amen. Come on. If we could ever get this thing together. Amen. If we can ever get them in one place and in one accord. And it's time for the wind to blow. Woo. All of a sudden the word came to Ezekiel. He said, prophesy to the wind. Preach to the wind. I've been preaching to the bones for a long time. But it's time, preachers, are you and I to get to a place where we can preach to the wind. Sometimes I just like to get in the pulpit and say, come, O breath of God, from the four corners of the earth, and breathe on these slain that they may live. All of my preaching is trying to get to that place. Brother Gans, I'm trying to get everybody to that place and be there too. Where I can look up to heaven and say, wind, it's time. Woo! It's time for Pentecost. It's time for revival. It's time for a stirring. It's time for a quickening. Come on, folks. That's what we're trying to get to, Brother James. We need it. Woo! I'm preaching on revival under difficult circumstances. Can it be more difficult than it is right now? If it does, oh, grant us grace. Yes, sir. You know, if I was going to pick a place to have revival, it wouldn't have been that valley. Don't send me to the Valley of Dry Bones Church. First Assembly of the Dry Bones. First Holiness Dry Bone Church. Send me there, Lord. I said, God, there's a nice green valley just over the hills. Woo! Lord, let me go there. Amen. They're shouting already. Amen. They're running the aisles. Come on. Amen. They're having church. People are being healed. I want to go there and hold a 2-week meet. Come on. I did one camp meeting. A preacher got up and said, every preacher come preach us a revival. We give them $600 a night. I said, sign me up. Amen. It ain't like that everywhere. Woo! Come on, somebody. Amen. I preached 3 weeks there. Amen. Woo! But I'm going to tell you, they're not all like that. Amen. We're going to have to learn to have revival under difficult circumstances. We can't wait on an opportune moment. We can't sit around and say, well, maybe next year. Maybe after the election. Amen. Come on, we've got to start doing what God called us to do right now. If we're going to see revival, it's not going to happen because we sit on our hands and do nothing. It's going to happen because we, like Ezekiel, step into the driest, deadest valley there is and say, I come here for the word from God, and I'm going to preach until revival falls. Come on, somebody. Anybody can start a church in the Bible Belt. And where are those that'll go to Maine and Washington State? Where are those that'll go where it's dry and establish a work for God? They all want the green valley. And I want you to know it's not as easy in the Bible Belt as it used to be either. Sometimes I think total saturation has been harder to deal with than a little moisture. Hallelujah. The biggest way to plow the issue is just the devil's smart. If you can't eliminate it, you'll just have it. Until the truth gets drowned. Come on. I can't eliminate the King James Bible in the English language. So and now nobody knows what authority is anymore. Nobody knows what truth is anymore. Amen. Come on. You can go to a church that, that preaches that God is a it. He's not a he or a she. Because there's a version that'll support that. Come on, you can go to churches that don't believe in fasting, and you can find a version that'll support that. Amen. I'm just going to stick with the old KJV. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Come on. I'm just going to stick with the book. Amen. Because for over 400 years, amen, the English speaking countries of the world evangelized the world here in the King James Bible. Doesn't matter if they was Methodist or Presbyterian or Holiness, they all preached out of the same book. Woo! I'm ready to preach. Come thou old wind, blow upon. Notice how he called them slain. There's a lot of people in our churches that were slain. They were slain by carnality, slain by a false gospel, slain by sometimes carrying their feelings on their shoulders, all kinds of things. But God's in the business of raising up the slain. Notice he didn't start over with a new army. He took the previous army and returned them to their former state. Let that sink in. He's not looking to start a new army. He's not looking to raise up a new holiness church, a new Pentecostal church. And I thank God for the Holiness Pentecostal Ministerial Alliance. Folks, we're not starting it to be some new, preach something new. We're just starting it because we need each other. Come on. Hallelujah. We're not going to preach a new way to get saved. Come on, we're not going to preach a new way of worship. We're not going to preach a new sanctification. We're just going to preach the old one. Amen. Because so many has departed. We're not trying to start a new army. We're just trying to restore the former army to what God intended in the beginning. Hallelujah. I said, come on, somebody. Get with me here. Amen. We need revival. We need the bones to come together. And we need to preach to the wind blow. Amen. Pastor, go back to that church. Get in that pulpit and preach the bones. And when you get done preaching to the bones, tell the wind to blow. Hallelujah. And when the blows, life will come back. Amen. God will give us spiritual CPR and we'll be alive. Come on. Stand with me this morning. I feel the Holy Ghost. Woo. Come on. Lift your hands and say, Lord, breathe on me. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Lord, breathe on me. Lord, breathe on me. Lord, breathe on me. Come on, saints. Woo! Amen. If you're out of joint, if you're out of socket, say, God, put me back in place. Woo! Come on. But if you know you're right where you need to be, and you're in the body of Christ, feeling your place, then you can say, wind, come and blow on me, and let me live. Woo! Come on. Come on. Right there. Just begin to talk to him. You don't have to come to the front. You can do it right there. Woo. Breathe on me, Lord. Breathe on me, God. Breathe on me. Come, O wind, from the four corners of the earth, and breathe on these slain, that they may live, and they will stand up an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Come on, saints. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let the Holy Ghost, that doctrine, that experience and demonstration, let Him breathe on you. Oh, God. Breathe on me, Lord. Breathe on me, God. Oh, come on. Lay your hand on that brother or sister right beside you. Maybe take them by the hand or lay it on their shoulder. Say, God, breathe on my brother. Breathe on my sister. Breathe on my loved one here. Oh, breathe on them, God. Oh, breathe on them, God. If they're out of joint, put them back in place.